This is your Polycast for Wednesday, July 30th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Jesse Ventura wins his defamation lawsuit. Minnesota's representatives are backing a Veterans Affairs overhaul, and outrage in Minneapolis over an alleged police beating. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura says he's glad a federal jury sided with him in his lawsuit against a now-dead Navy SEAL who claimed to have punched him out in a bar in California in 2006. Chris Kyle made the claim as he was promoting his autobiography, American Sniper. Ventura denied that Kyle had hit him. The former wrestler and Navy diver also denied Kyle's claim that Ventura had insulted Navy SEALs. Ventura won a $1.8 million judgment from Kyle's estate in federal court yesterday. Ventura spoke about the suit to CBS This Morning earlier today.
You pursue a lawsuit for the truth. I would have been a big-time loser had I not pursued the lawsuit because the lawsuit, the whole story was fabricated. I was accused of treason, which in the military is the death penalty. I would think that would be enough to inspire anyone to seek the truth. And the bottom line is it never happened.
Ventura also said he may take further action against the book's publisher. Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson was back campaigning for governor yesterday, 8 days after stomach surgery. Tim Pugmire has more.
Johnson, the Republican-endorsed candidate for governor, was hospitalized last week for 6 days after the surgery to repair a hole in his stomach. He was unable to make any public appearances while he recovered. After a few media interviews, Johnson said he had some afternoon county meetings to attend.
I feel great, considering. I mean, I'll feel better tomorrow, I'm sure, but it's good to be back out and doing normal things again.
Johnson is in a four-way GOP primary contest for governor on August 12th. The candidates have an NPR News debate scheduled Wednesday at noon. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Several DFL legislators say they want to make sure Minnesota women have access to contraception no matter where they work. The proposal announced today follows the U.S. Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby ruling that allows some privately owned companies to opt out of such coverage for employees on religious grounds. DFL House Majority Leader Erin Murphy of St. Paul said she'll introduce legislation next year to require employers to cover contraception if their health plans provide prescription drug coverage.
I don't think we should go backwards to a time when women paid more for health care than men for basic health care services, and when essentially being a woman constituted a pre-existing condition. I don't think we should do that in Minnesota. And the Hobby Lobby decision opens up that possibility again.
Murphy said she's announcing the proposed Contraception, Health Equity, and Employee Rights Act now so that the issue can be discussed ahead of the fall election. All 134 House seats are on the ballot in November. Most of Minnesota's congressional delegation is likely to back a $17 billion bill to overhaul the troubled Veterans Affairs Department. The bill comes in response to a scandal at VA hospitals with long wait times for veterans seeking health care and VA officials hiding those statistics from their superiors. The legislation is expected to pass this week in Washington. Brett Neely has more.
If you're a lawmaker who's inclined towards actually lawmaking, this has been a rough session of Congress. This bipartisan VA bill was welcomed by some as a light sprinkle of rain on the long legislative drought. Democrats agreed to give veterans facing long wait times or long drives to VA clinics the choice to seek private care paid for by the government, a shift 2nd District Republican John Klein applauded.
This affords essentially every veteran a choice, because if you're stuck waiting for more than 30 days, you can have a chance to go get a private provider. And if you're being seen in a timely fashion, that's a good thing.
Democrat Tim Walz is the only member of Minnesota's delegation who sits on the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Walz says he doesn't think the move will lead to a flood of veterans leaving the VA system.
My concern, I guess, is making sure the veterans have the access to the best care possible. And in many of those cases, they're going to choose the VA when you talk to them.
The bill provides about $12 billion in new spending to pay for that outside care, to hire doctors and nurses, and lease 27 new VA clinics across the country. None of those clinics will be in Minnesota. Typically, Republicans have demanded spending be cut elsewhere in the budget, but Klein says not this time.
In this case, this is a compromise. We had to do something to address the mess that we now see that the VA is.
The bill also creates a congressional commission to examine the whole VA system. Wall says that's a welcome change from the VA's past practices and may help prevent future scandals.
I think this gives us the chance, and that commission does that. It's okay, we have X number of veterans. Here's where they live. Here's the cost. Here's how many are going to go outside the system. Here's how many are going to stay inside the system. Here's how we budget, and here's how we get efficiencies. I think that has never really happened before, and those are the things that we can do now.
With campaign season set to begin in earnest next week, this is likely the last piece of significant legislation Congress will consider until after the November election. Brett Neely, Minnesota Public Radio News, Washington.
Dozens of people gathered yesterday in North Minneapolis to express their outrage over the recent arrest and alleged beating of an African-American community activist by police officers. Most of the people who spoke at the meeting have been calling for an end to police brutality for decades. While some of them have clashed over the years, they agree that this latest incident shows not much has changed. Brant Williams has the story.
Al Flowers' face still shows signs he was involved in a violent confrontation. There are stitches over his right eye and staples in his scalp. Flowers, who is 55, told a group of supporters at the Urban League headquarters in North Minneapolis that he was still in a bit of pain, but he apparently felt good enough to joke with them about his injuries.
I'm a better fighter than this. I just got ambushed, you know. So
Flowers says Minneapolis police officers beat him up at his South Minneapolis home last weekend. The police report doesn't specify how many officers were involved. Flowers says officers came to arrest his teenage daughter but didn't have a warrant. Flowers says a scuffle broke out after he asked to see it.
And once they attacked, I felt every blow. I felt every 30 to 40 blows to my head, my ribs. I got stumped. And
Flowers has not only had a history of criticizing the police department, he's also sued the city and the department for brutality. He was awarded $15,000 in a settlement in 2008. Spike Moss, an outspoken civil rights advocate, says he believes police officers targeted Flowers because of the color of his skin, not because of what he said about police brutality.
Al took that whooping for us. That wasn't no Al whooping. That was our whooping. That was the hate of us. And folks kept calling me, Spike, why would they do it? They don't need no reason when you're black. They never answer our questions. Why did you stop me, officer? They never tell us nothing. They just abuse us.
Moss was also angry about Police Chief Janae Harto's response to the incident. Harto declined to comment on the details of the case the day after the arrest. She also did not mention Flowers by name.
Al's incident is not isolated. Those of us who've been around here for a while, you know we've been fighting this for quite some time.
Reverend Jerry McAfee echoed Moss's comments. He says no matter who takes over as chief, the culture among police officers who patrol the streets doesn't change.
You can listen to the police chief if you want. What she say don't always translate to what happens on the block. And until there is a strong move to eradicate that nonsense from the block, nothing will happen.
This is the second major incident involving Minneapolis police officers to spark outrage among members of the African-American community since Harto was appointed. Last year, officers shot and killed a 22-year-old African-American man in the basement of a house after they say he grabbed one of their guns and wounded two officers. As she did in that instance, Harto is asking for calm. The chief spoke to NPR News before the Urban League event for Al Flowers and just after the city's Civil Service Commission upheld her decision to fire two white police officers. The commission found that the officers used racial and homophobic slurs.
We are completing a thorough investigation. All things are looked at, both criminally, civilly, internally. And so I just want people to understand that you have to let the process take its course. And just because the chief and others aren't speaking doesn't mean it's because we don't want to.
But Reverend Jerry McAfee and others at today's meeting say they don't want another internal investigation. They say they want an outside organization to look into Flowers' allegations. Despite their skepticism and frustration with the Minneapolis Police Department, there was at least one sign that there are still ties between the police department and these African-American residents. Lieutenant Rick Zimmerman heads up the Minneapolis Police Homicide Division and works with Flowers' organization called the Community Standards Initiative.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry this happened to you personally, and it'll take time, but I hope you get some justice.
Al Flowers was arrested on suspicion that he assaulted a police officer, which is a felony, and on suspicion of obstructing the legal process, a gross misdemeanor. Officials with the Hennepin County Attorney's Office say no one has been charged in the incident. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.